All right. I want you to turn into your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, obviously. And this is not what I've been preaching through this year. It's been in 1 Timothy, and we will be there. But I wanted to use 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 as a way of introduction to what we're going to see today. We're actually going to be covering 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. We'll talk about that in a second, and really just seeing how Paul is really encouraging, exhorting Timothy to not neglect the gift that is in him. And so that's going to really be our focus today, and looking at that. And we're going to talk about how all of us, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, God gives us a gift, and that gift really is His grace, not only for salvation, but also to be able to minister within the body of Christ, to be able to minister to others, and also obviously even to reach the lost, and ties right in with our vision for this year, being addicted to ministry. If you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I want you to notice what it says in verse 1. It says, "We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." Now, this is an incredible verse because, one, we have the privilege of being able to work together as a body of believers, but we're working together as a body of believers with Him. That Him is God. We have the privilege of working with the God of the universe, the God that created everything. He wants and desires for us to work with Him to be able to, again, bring Him glory ultimately. And what you see here, Paul tells the Corinthians not to receive this grace in vain. Now, again, he's not talking about salvation, because we're going to see later here in the message that obviously we are saved by grace. And, you know, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that grace is something that is not in vain as far as your salvation is concerned. So what is Paul talking about receiving the grace of God in vain? Well, that deals with ministry. If you and all that you do is accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive God's grace, and you only receive it for salvation, but not to be able to minister the truth of the Word of God to others, then it is in vain. When it comes to standing before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, you'll come up empty, because your works have been that of wood, hay, and stubble, that which is of the flesh, and not gold, silver, and precious stones, that which is eternal, and dealing with that. And so, with that as an introduction, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and again, we're going to look in verses 14 and 15 and see what that all means about not receiving the grace of God in vain. And this is interesting because, you know, honestly, Timothy, he's pastoring a church in Ephesus, and, I mean, obviously it seems like he's doing a good job and everything, but you see where Paul is, again, exhorting him to be able to not neglect the gift that is in him, which he received through, really, as we're going to see, the preaching of the Word of God. Now, last week I asked you a question, and that question was, are you in attendance? Are you attending to, the Word of God, really? If I'm going to sum that whole verse up in verse 13, we talked about, you know, attending to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And we laid those three different things out last week, and we talked about the importance of how God exalts His Word even above His very name. So the question was, are you in attendance to those things? This week's question, as you see in your outline, are you committed? Are you committed to the gift of grace that God has given each and every one of you? To me, this message today is probably maybe one of the most important messages I'll ever preach. And until next week. But no, I really mean that, because this is right in my, just my heart. From last week and this week, I'm really talking about the importance of the Word of God in your life. But then this week, as we look at verses 14 and 15, being used of God. God has a gift and a purpose for each and every human being on the face of this planet. It starts with coming to Christ. But that's just the beginning part. That's the starting point. But He wants you to grow in His relationship with you and so forth, but to be able to understand the purpose that He has for you, the good works that He has laid out for you. If you're in 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's read it in verse 14 and 15. It says this, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." That's actually a commandment, by the way. "Which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." In verse 14, we're going to talk about recognizing the gift. And then in verse 15, we're going to talk about being committed to the gift. And I really want you to have an open heart and mind to what God has to say to you specifically. Again, I want you to understand that this whole thing in talking about ministry is not just for a few people. It's for every person that's in the body of Christ. I want you to understand that God has given you a gift. He's given you abilities. He's given you talents. He's given whatever that you need to be able to accomplish the purpose and goal that He has for you being in Christ. And our goal should be like Paul, that when we get to the end of our lives, when we are standing before the Lord, that we have finished the course that God has laid out for us. And God's not going to give you a course to finish that He doesn't give you the gift or the ability to be able to finish it. So let's have a word of prayer and let's get started in what we need to see today. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your word. Now Lord, You know I am just flat physically tired. Help me to be Your messenger in Your message. Help me to communicate the things that You've laid in my heart. Communicate the things that I didn't even think about in this last week reviewing this message. Speak to all of us, including myself. Help us to hear what You have to say. And nothing matters of what happened before we got here. Nothing matters afterwards, in a sense, as far as whatever we have planned. What is important is that we focus on You and Your Word now in these verses at this time. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. It says in verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now we'll talk about the rest of this verse, what all that means, but let's focus right now on neglect not the gift. Don't neglect it. God has given you a gift. Are you committed to it? Don't neglect it. I want you to actually turn back to very famous verses, very popular verses. I want you to go to the book of Ephesians, so flip back to the left a few pages. And I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 8 and read down through verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8 through verse 10. It says this. Again, it lays out for us what our salvation is all about. It's not about any work that you do, because Jesus Christ has done all the work on the cross. And His suffering, our sins, for our sin, and our death and hell, of course, resurrected the third day. It says this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I'm going to stop right there for a second. Again, most of you have heard me explain through this before, but I want you to understand, again, that our salvation is a gift. And we receive that gift, that grace, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done. We can't work for it. There's nothing that we do. There's nothing that we can sit around and boast about of something that we've accomplished to be able to earn our way to heaven. Every religion in the world, with the exception of biblical Christianity, and specifically the doctrine that is given to us, laid out by the Lord Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Gentiles, all right, that we are saved by grace and grace only. You can't add to it. You can't take away anything from it. Only thing that you can do is choose to accept that free gift. So we have this gift of salvation. But it doesn't stop there in a sense. Because of this gift, because of grace, because of what God has done for us, because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, He has a job for us to do. He has good works for us to do. And that's where verse 10 comes in. If you're still in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 10 it says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Just like we choose whether we're going to accept Christ as our Savior or not, once you're saved, you still have another choice of whether you're going to walk in those good works or not. And unfortunately, there's too many Christians that do not walk in the good works that God has planned for them. They're not committed to it. And it could be where maybe they're not in a church that allows them to be able to grow in the Word of God, disciples them, that sort of thing. Or maybe they just flat don't have the desire, don't want to do anything more, but just be saved and be heaven bound, but not to do anything more with that. That would be neglecting the gift. That would be receiving the grace of God in vain, like we opened up with in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1.
Allow God to work in your life. Allow the Word of God to work in your life to equip you, to get you ready so that you're able to walk in those good works, to be able to minister the truth of the Word of God. He saved you with a purpose. And that purpose is not just to be in heaven and be with Him for all eternity. Hallelujah, that's great. But there's greater purpose in your salvation, in that gift of grace, than just salvation. And it's too bad, and it is sad. I'm rhyming here. I don't think of myself as a rapper, but maybe I can turn that into a rap. No, okay, I'm not going to do that. But it is bad, and it is sad. But you know what makes God glad? I can tell I haven't had a lot of sleep. It's by allowing Him and His Word to work in your life and saying, you know what? I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't think I'm the best speaker. I don't know if I have the... Just trust God and His grace to get you ready to do the works that He wants you to do. You're still in Ephesians. I want you to jump over to chapter 3 real quick. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to look down at verses 7 and 8. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7. This is Paul speaking, and he says this, "Whereof I was made a minister." Paul allowed God's Word to work in his life, to be a workmanship unto good works. "Wherefore, or whereof I was made a minister, according," notice, "to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of," notice, "of His power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Paul allowed God to make him a minister, and he took that, according to the gift of the grace of God. It says, "given unto me by the effectual working of His power." You see, you can't do the good works that God wants you to do in your own power, in your own strength. And that's the reason why sometimes, again, that we have Christians that don't do the works, don't do or get involved in the ministry that God has for them, because they think they have to do it in their own power, in their own strength. And they allow Satan to get in there, they allow your flesh to get in there with all kinds of doubts. Oh, there's no way God can use you. You know what you were in your past, and so forth and so on. God's grace covers anything and everything. When Jesus Christ died for, get this now, when Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, He died for your sins past, present, and future. He paid the whole debt. So even as a Christian, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you stumble and you sin, guess what? All you do is what? Repent. Recognize that. Get up. Get back up. Get back walking. God's grace covers that. So don't allow the guilt from Satan, the guilt from your flesh, to say, "there's no way I can ever serve God." Yes, you can. The very Apostle Paul says, "I am the least, less than the least of all saints." Out of every saint that there ever will be, Paul says, "you know what? I'm way down here. I'm at the very bottom." Why does God have Paul say that and have it written down for all of eternity? So you do not have an excuse to say, "there's no way God can use me." Don't sit there right now, because I know some of you right now is like, "well, Charles, a preacher, you just don't know what I've done." You're right, I don't know what you've done. You don't know what I've done. But here's what I can tell you, is that because of the grace of God, because of that incredible gift, that God is able to take His grace, that gift, His Word, and create in you to be able to grow, to be able to be used of Him. And it's not about depending on your strength or your power or your lack thereof. What does Paul say? His power. His power is going to make me effective. To be able to teach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I mean, that's incredible to think about, that God will allow us the same thing. Paul's not special. No. He's no more special than anybody else in the body of Christ. Yes, God used him as the apostle of the Gentiles. Yeah, I get that. But guess what? Paul is not superhuman. He's human. Same struggle, same thing, same problem. You think he didn't think about his past? He put people in jail. He injures people. He wastes the church, he says. You see that in the book of Galatians. You see that in several different places and understanding his testimony. And guess what? God still used him. And if God can use the Apostle Paul with his background, he can use each and every one of you. You just got to be committed. You got to be committed. Allow God to work in your life. Allow God to grow you up. Allow God to teach you and to show you how to be a minister. I want you to turn back a little bit more to the left, this time to the book of Romans, chapter 12. See, spending a lot of time on this, you got to understand how the Word of God lays out that this gift of the grace of God is for each and every one of us within the body of Christ to be able to minister to one another, and again, to be able, obviously, reach the lost, but again, primarily our focus in dealing with the Pauline letters, the letters from Romans to Philemon, is to saints. It's to the believers. It's not to lost people. In Romans chapter 12, I want you to start in verse 5, and we're going to read down through verse 8. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 5, says this, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, which would be correlating to the preaching of the Word of God, proclaiming of the Word, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering." That wait means, again, idea of serving. Like you go to a restaurant, you have a waiter, they are serving you. Well, we need to, again, wait or serve in our ministry that we have. "Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation." We talked about that a little bit last week. "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Now, let me just dispel something real quick. Because a lot of times, when I go to a church, and I've been a part of a church that did this. You take a little test to find out what your spiritual gift is, you know, and all that. So if I took a test, I mean, it would be, somebody said, "Oh, Charles, obviously you have the gift of teaching." Well, yeah, obviously I do it every week, that sort of thing. I mean, it's just, yeah, okay, I get that. But because I have the gift of teaching, am I not responsible to show mercy? Oh, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have the gift of mercy, so I'm not showing any mercy. All right? Or giving. Now, I don't have to worry about giving. That's not my gift. I took a little test. My gift is teaching, so I don't have to worry about being giving at all. I'm not going to give to you. I'm not going to help you out. I don't. That, you go to somebody else in the body of Christ for that. That's not what we're dealing with. Maybe there's something that comes more natural to you or whatever, that God maybe does something that says, okay, I need you to do this sort of ministry, this sort of work, so yes, I'm gonna give you more in that area, whatever. But it's like, it's not like one of these things that it's like, well, this is my gift, because that's what happens. People come covetous of their gift. This is my gift. Oh, I have the gift of blah, 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 blah. No. Here's the thing. We all have the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. We all have the gift of God's grace to be able to accomplish whatever it needs to be accomplished. I remember a time in my life, I never thought about ever being a children's pastor. Adults, yes, obviously, I am there. I will even get down to teenagers. But when you're talking about children, no, that is not my gift. When we started Kansas City Bible Church, obviously, Dave was the senior pastor. Had another pastor that was the youth pastor, and it was just the natural choice for me. I mean, David gave us, John and I, the opportunity of whatever, which one we wanted to do, but I'd already come up with a whole children's curriculum from the previous church I was involved in, and it just seemed the natural thing for me to be the children's pastor. I'm like, God, you don't know how to teach children? I don't even know if I like them. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I like children. I had one. All right, anyhow. In just one. No, I'm kidding. I kid. But you know what? I learned so much being in that position. And guess what? God gave me what I needed to be the children's pastor at Kansas City Bible Church. And I was the children's pastor for a number of years before I ever ended up being the college and career age pastor. I learned so much. And I learned that, you know what? I can teach kids pretty much like I teach adults. Teach them. They don't understand something? Teach them. All right? And I learned a lot with that. God gave me the necessary abilities to be able to do that job. And I'm bringing this out because you know what? You might be sitting there thinking, there's no way I can do X, Y, and Z. Have you ever given God the chance? Because remember, you're not supposed to be doing it in your strength, in your power in the first place. You're supposed to be doing it in His power. I want you to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. It says again, neglect not the gift that is in thee. It's Paul talking to his son in the ministry, Timothy. And this is not the only time Paul tells Timothy this. I want you to go over to 2 Timothy. It's probably just flip a page or two. To the right, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to pick it up in verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. It says this, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned or unfaked faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. There is a family history of strong faith. And again, it would be on the grandmother and the mother's side, because you can go to Acts chapter 16 and understand that Timothy's father was not a believer. But his grandmother and his mother were strong in the faith, and Paul believed that that same strength of faith is in Timothy. And he goes on in verse 6 and it says this, wherefore, based on that faith, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now we're going to talk about that a little bit more here as we go back to the 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, but again, you see here that Paul is saying, hey, in verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. That's not a suggestion that Paul is giving to Timothy. It's a command. Just like we're seeing in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. That is a command. Not a suggestion. Not something that, you know, if you got the time or whatever, Timothy, I think maybe you ought to think about this a little bit. It's a command. Don't neglect the gift. Stir it up. Apparently the gift and what God has given Timothy to be able to be the most effective pastor that he's supposed to be in Ephesus, because that's where he's at right now, is kind of laying a little bit dormant. And it needs to be stirred up. And he's the one that needs to do the stirring. As much as I wish... To try to motivate everybody that I speak the Word of God to if they're lost to get saved, if they're saved, to be able to understand that God has a purpose for them, and to be able to get involved in the ministry of the Word of God, to be able to teach those that are around them. As much as I want to try to stir that up and to motivate people to do that, guess what? It comes down to you have got to decide that you want to do it. Paul does not tell Timothy, go to so-and-so to stir you up. He doesn't say, watch this to stir you up. He says, Paul telling Timothy, stir up the gift of God. You need to do the stirring. Just like I can't and you can't make somebody accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. You can resist it to them. You can lay out the gospel as we're supposed to. And to do it in a way that they can understand it so they have a legitimate opportunity to either accept or reject it. But you can't make them get saved. They have to choose to do that. God Himself does not make somebody get saved. He does everything to woo them and to encourage them and to get the truth to them. But they have to decide. Every individual has to decide yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every believer in Christ has got to say, yes, I want to walk in those good works that you have laid out for me. I'm going to stir up the gift that you have given me. But I don't know what all God has in store for you. I don't even know your strengths and your weaknesses or anything like that. But here's what I know. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the gift of grace in you. And quite frankly, there are too many Christians that gift is lying dormant in their life. It's being neglected. I want you to think about something. What's your hobby? What are the things that you like to do? Do you make sure that you attend unto those things on a daily basis? Maybe it's something that's a weekly basis, whatever, but you attend unto those things. You stir it up. You make sure that it's getting taken care of. What about the ministry that God has given you? What about the gift of His grace? Are you stirring that up every day?
Oh, I know I'm a bit hard today. I know I am. But I'm doing this out of true biblical love. Because I know the incredible blessing that it is to have the opportunity to use what God has given you through His grace. To be able to minister the Word of God to others. To me, there's no greater high. It's what makes me tick. Alright, if I can't do this, it's time for me to be in heaven. If I can't preach and teach the Word of God, it's time for me to be in heaven. Alright? And I want you to understand that. That's why we talk about this year, about being addicted to ministry. I am your ministry dealer up here. I am dealing you ministry drugs every week. I want you to get addicted to ministry. And the way to do that is I want you to try it. How does any, unfortunately, person that's on drugs or person that's an alcoholic, whatever, you named addiction, how is it that they get addicted? They try it. Oh, I kind of like that. I will do it again and again and again and again. And all of a sudden, their life, they can't even function right unless they have that addiction satisfied. Well, I'm trying to be a ministry dealer. Every week, dealing out the drug of ministry, I want you hooked. Because I know what it's going to do for you, not just now in this life, but also in eternity, like we talked about a few weeks ago. Exercising yourself to godliness is not just beneficial for this life, but that which is to come. I don't know about you. As long as I continue to keep pressing, and we'll talk about that next week, continuing on. I hope to press and to finish the work that God has given me, that when I stand before the Lord, I can thank God for the person that led me to the Lord. And I can thank God for the people that God has put in my life to teach me the truth, to encourage me, to give me addicted to ministry. Thank you. You're not going to be disappointed at the judgment seat of Christ when the Lord says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." When He gives you the reward of being able to rule and reign with Christ, to be married to Jesus Christ for all of eternity, you are not going to be disappointed in that. But I'll tell you what you will be disappointed in. If you never get addicted to ministry right now, if you never serve the Lord right now, if you just allow His gift of grace to be in vain in your life, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, and all of a sudden you have an incredible understanding of everything that Jesus Christ wanted you to do, as much as I can think, guarantee you that when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you will understand every good work that He wanted you to walk in. And if you didn't do any of it, and there's no reuse, I guarantee you, you'll be disappointed then. And there won't be anything you can do about it. Yes, you're in heaven. Can't lose your salvation. But all the rewards of being able to rule and reign with Christ throughout all of eternity will not be for you. It won't be for me if I decided, you know what? Today is my last Sunday. I'm doing any of this stuff. I'm tired of it. Then I'd be in the same boat. But the boat that I want all of us to be in is that of ministry. And that we do it until the day of our death or to the day of the rapture. That we keep on pressing. We keep on pressing no matter how bad this world gets. No matter how we have Christians that are falling away to the left and to the right, that the Word of God doesn't mean anything to them anymore. I want us to be a people that are not just walking by faith, that we are addicted to ministry. Jeez. We still got more to cover here. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse
In verse 6, it says again, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We shouldn't be fearing what God has given us to do. Verse 8, it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel." How? According to the power of God. Yes, I talked about it before. You live a godly life. You're living a life in this world to serve the Lord. You're going to go through some persecution. Especially if you're standing on doctrine that is given to us by the Apostle Paul, you're going to go through some afflictions. As I said before, I'll say it again. I've experienced more persecution among brothers and sisters in Christ for standing on truth than I ever have from the world. Hands down. If I was to compare troubles that I've had in the world as far as being a Christian compared to quote-unquote within the body of Christ for standing on doctrine, as far, unfortunately, outweighs any persecution and trouble I've ever had from the world. You're going to go through it. But guess what? God gives you the power to go through it and to come out much stronger on the other end. And then you have verse 9 here. It says, "Who have saved us and called us." There's two things there. So it's not a matter of just getting saved. He's also called you. "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Even before the world began. Blows my mind every time I read it. Ever before God said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, the plan for your life was already laid out. The good works He wanted you to do, already laid out. Because God is not subject to time. He's everywhere at the same time. He declares an end from the beginning. He knows everything about us. And He knows all the good works, everything laid out for us to do. It's just a matter of if we're going to choose to do it or not. We need to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to move on. Verse 14 says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy." What's that mean? It doesn't mean some charismatic mumble-jumble preacher coming up to you and say, "I have a word of knowledge. Alright? I got a word of knowledge, Trish. A word of knowledge. But God wants you to do X, Y, and Z." And Trish is sitting there like, "Well, God hadn't told me about X, Y, and Z." That's a good thing. It's like, if God hasn't told you something through His Word, guess what? Yeah, don't listen to it. Run. Flee. I've seen churches, they do that. They have their prophet in. We got the completed Word of God. When it talks about this gift given to you by prophecy, let me just break it down real easy. One of our theme verses for this church, Faith Bible Church, Romans 10:17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Now, how did you get saved? How did you receive the gift of grace, of God's grace, of what Lord Jesus Christ? How did you know about that? Did God just zap it into your head, into your heart? No. You heard somebody teach you that from the Word. I'm talking about this gift of grace, of God's grace. How do we know about it? Because we have the Word of God. Somebody showed us that. For me, it was 35 years ago at a Boy Scout camp. There was a man that came that shared the truth of the Word of God, the gospel of grace, and I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. That gift of the Holy Spirit of God, of God's grace, was given to me by somebody preaching the Word, prophecy. And Paul's telling Timothy, man, don't neglect the gift that was given to you by prophecy, by the Word of God. I want you to turn back a couple of pages to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Probably just got to flip back a few pages here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want you to look at what it says in verses 19 and 20. Two simple little verses. They're actually commands. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. These two go hand in hand. It says this in verse 19,
quench not the Spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesying. Those two commands.
Well, what does the Spirit of God do? He teaches us the Word of God. Jesus laid that out in the Gospel of John several times over. He's the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. He's going to guide you into all truth. Quench not the Spirit. Don't throw water on the Holy Spirit in the sense that and quench and snuff out what He's trying to teach you. And the next command that says, despise, not prophesying. Don't despise the Word of God. Last week's message. Give attendance to what? Reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. All of that is the what? The Word of God. You should not despise it.
Let me just say this. If anybody is having a problem with what is being presented in the Word of God today, again, you may not like my style of preaching, but when it comes down to what does the Word say, if you have a problem with that, then you have a problem with God. You have a problem with His Word. You know, I don't want to hear that. Well, you just don't understand. You give me all the excuses in the world. And every excuse, what you're doing is disobeying 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. The gift that God gave to Timothy is through the grace of God. And Paul tells him, hey, don't neglect it. It was given to you through the preaching of the Word of God. You want to be equipped to do what God would have you to do, to exercise that grace that God's given you? Then listen and adhere to the Word of God. That's what's going to give you everything that you need to be able to minister the truth of the Word of God. You can't do that. You can't minister without the Word. And allowing the Word of God to equip you. It doesn't work any other way. You go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14 again. It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Now the presbytery is the elders. In other words, Paul is reminding Timothy that we as the elders recognize this gift that God has in you. It's almost like Timothy said, why are you neglecting it? The laying on the hands, again, I'm going to pick on the charismatics again. I don't have a problem doing that. I love anybody that's charismatic. When I got questions about things, I'd be more than happy to sit down with you with the Word of God and lay out why I'm saying what I'm saying. The laying on the hands is not like some special spiritual power that comes from one person to another to give them the ability to be able to minister. Laying on the hands in the Bible is about simply, I'm identifying that this is what God is doing in their life. When Paul and Barnabas went on their first missionary journey back in Acts chapter 13, the church of Antioch, when they prayed and sent them out, they laid hands on them to say, hey, publicly, we're identifying in what God is doing here. It didn't convey any special power or anything like that. When I was at Kansas City Baptist Temple years ago, back in 1994, yeah, think about it for a second. In 1994, when we were getting sent to go to Canada, we were part of a group and a number of people that were ordained to the ministry that God had given us. There was a number of people that were going out all over different places in the world and stuff like that for ministry. We were headed to Canada and they had us on stage at a big ordination ceremony and all the pastors of the church and the deacons, we were in the center and they laid their hands on us. Here's my advice. Have you ever had that experience? Don't be the first guy like in the middle. Because you got everybody's hands and the weight of everybody coming down on you. And I like to sit there and think I was all spiritual. Hey, praise God, this is happening. I'm like, stop praying. I'm hurting. I can't get up. That was what's going on in my brain. Because it wasn't just one pastor preaching or praying. I like their preaching. It was several. Pastor this, so-and-so's going to pray, this, so-and-so's going to pray. Oh, like three different prayers. I'm sitting there and it's just like, what is this? Okay, now that I'm ordained, I can't walk the hill anywhere. I don't know. All right. But all it is just identifying. We'll see that again in 1 Timothy chapter 5, down to verse 22. I won't take the time to go there now, but we'll see where Paul is giving Timothy instructions. Don't lay hands suddenly on no man. You don't want to put somebody in a position that they're not ready for. All right? You know, prove them out, just like we saw back in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and dealing with the pastors and dealing with the deacons, all right? But we need to move on. We got to finish up. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 again, let's pick it up in verse 15. So again, Paul gives Timothy this command. Hey, don't neglect the gift that's in thee. Don't neglect it. We saw in 2 Timothy chapter 1, stir it up. In verse 15, another command. Again, it's not a suggestion that Paul is giving to Timothy. It's a commandment, which means it's a commandment to us. It says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now, we're talking about meditating upon these things. Remember, let's go back real quickly, all the way back to verse 12, because this is when he's really giving commands to Timothy. All right, actually before that. All right, in verse 11 he says, these things command and teach. And then he goes on in verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. That's a lot to be thinking about, isn't it? How often do maybe we hear the Word of God or we're reading the Word of God, but then we don't meditate upon it. We don't think about it. I'm guilty of that. I am very diligent. I will study and I'll read the Word of God every day without fail. Unless I can't think of a time when I have not been in the Word of God for 35 years. It's important to me. That's what's going to help me to be able to be exercised and to get that gift that God has given me to be able to do what He wants me to do. I can't imagine not being in the Word of God. I don't care if it's just one verse. I'm going to be in the Word of God. But how often do I actually meditate on what the Lord is showing me? Sitting down and actually thinking and dwelling upon it. Well, that's a command. Meditate upon these things. Timothy, you really need to sit down and do some thinking about what was just laid out. And what has directly just been laid out is neglect not the gift. I want you to think about that, Timothy. You need to meditate on it. Why don't you go back to the Old Testament book of Joshua real quick. Joshua chapter 1. The context is Joshua taking the nation of Israel into the promised land after they've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. A new generation comes up. It's time for him to lead them in to the promised land. And you see where Moses has encouraged Joshua in being able to do these things. Now, obviously, Joshua, this is after the death of Moses from the book of Deuteronomy. But again, you see where God is encouraging Joshua. And I want you to look down in verse 8. We're going to see in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Joshua the only time in the whole Bible that the word success is used. I want you to think about this. What does the world think makes you successful? It's usually going to be a nice paying job, got a nice house, got nice toys to go along with it. That's how the world views having success. You got some popularity, you got some fame. People know who you are. You Google your name and it may be the first thing that comes up. That's how the world views success. Well, I want you to see how God views it because it's the only time the word is used in the Bible. Just like in our vision this year and dealing with being addicted to ministry, the only time that word addicted is used is in the context of ministry and all of the Word of God. It's only used once. Well, the word success is only used once. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says this, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I mean, you're always going to have it. You're always going to be ready to speak it. You're thinking about it. You're dwelling upon it. It says, but thou shalt, notice, meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We want to be successful before God? Then we daily need to be in the Word of God and meditate on it day and night.
and to do the things that the Word of God tells us to do. Now, what he was telling Joshua to do, doctrinally, is different than what we know that we need to be doing. That's laid out for us in Romans through Philemon. We understand that here in this church, rightly dividing the Word of truth. But that's how we are going to be prosperous. That's how we are going to be successful, if we're meditating in and doing what the Word of God says for us to do. That's how we're going to be successful. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. If you want to be having your profiting to appear before all, if you want to be prosperous, you want to be successful in God's eyes, don't neglect the gift, Timothy. Don't neglect it. Meditate in it. Go to the book of Psalms real quick in the middle of your Bible. I want you to look at the first psalm of the book of Psalms. Psalm 1, and we're going to read the first three verses. Psalm 1, verse 1. You want to be blessed? You want to be happy? You want to be joyous? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, here it is again, day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You're delighting in God's Word. Last week's message. You're meditating in it day and night. That's what allows you to be prosperous, as it says in verse 3. Bringing forth your fruit in your season. If you know anything about different trees that bear fruit, all trees do not bear fruit at the same time and the same season. Sometimes there are some trees that take years before they ever bear any fruit. Some every year they're bearing fruit. God compares us to a tree. The issue is, are you delighting in the Word of God and meditating in it day and night? Are you making sure that you're committed to the gift of grace that God has given you so that you're going to bear fruit in your season? That you're being successful, that you're being prosperous in God's eyes, that the profiting may appear to all. You go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15 again, and it says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Give yourself wholly, completely, entirely to what has been laid out in the Word of God. That's the question of this message. Are you committed? Colossians 3 and verse 23 says, and for whatsoever you do, or whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Are you committed? Are you doing it to the best of the ability that God has given you according to the gift of grace that He's given you? Are you doing that? Or are you neglecting that? You know what my prayer is as we conclude? The command that it says there in verse 15, at the very beginning of that verse, I'm praying that when you leave here, when you're done listening to this message, that you meditate on these things. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Well, it's another Charles Boyce message, screaming and hollering, spit flying all over the place. Come back next week. Now, I want you to meditate on these things. I want the Spirit of God to bother your heart and your mind about these things. I want the day, if you never thought about ever being used of God and using that gift that He's given you of grace, I want the Holy Spirit of God to mess with your heart and your mind so much by this that you know what? You say, you know what? I've got to do this. I want it to be, oh God just gave me this. I want it to be like Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, he's in chapter 17, where he's kind of getting a little bit fed up with the nation of Israel that wasn't listening to the Word of God. He's like, I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm done. That's what Jeremiah said. And all, when he tried to not say something and not preach the Word of God, he said, it was like fire shut up in my bones. Like, I got to say something. Oh, that's my prayer for you. I don't want you to be comfortable. I never want any of us to be comfortable in this church. I want us to stretch. I want us to grow. I want us to be used of God because I know that's what's going to give you a fulfilled life. I know that's what's going to make a difference, not just in somebody else's life, but in your own life as you minister the Word of God. I want you to be addicted. I want you to think about it all day long. Last week's message, today's message. That is what Charles Boyce is all about. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, again, 35 years ago, for whatever reason, God just gave me a strong desire and love for His Word and to be used of Him. All I wanted was to be used of Him. And I want those two things to always be in my life, no matter how long I'm saved, no matter how long that we have, that I want to have a love for the Word of God, I want to attend unto the Word of God, and I want to be committed to the gift that God has given me, His grace, to be used of Him in the lives of others. And I want, and I'm praying the same thing for each and every one of you. You know why? Because this is what this world needs. This is what our country needs. This is what our state needs. This is what Southeast Kansas needs. That's what Joplin, Missouri needs. That's what everybody needs. And God wants to use us. He wants us to be made ministers. He wants us to take the Word and allow it to work in our lives, to equip us, to make us ready, to utilize the gift of grace that He's given us, to reach others, and to bring Him the greatest glory. Are you attending unto His Word? Are you committed to the gift that He's given you? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your Word. Personally, I thank you for things I don't even understand that you've allowed me to preach and teach your Word for 35 years and to do it in various places around the world, around the United States, to groups of people by the hundreds, to a single individual. Doesn't matter which. I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray you help me to meditate upon these things today, that you might somehow be able to continue to use me to preach and teach your Word in the lives of other people. My prayer is also to everyone that will hear this message, all of it, that they meditate upon it. They come to the place where they do not neglect the gift of grace that you have given them, the moment that they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray your Spirit just work in all of our hearts and our minds each and every day. Lord, help us to be addicted to ministry. Help us to be successful and prosperous in your eyes. Lord, let us be committed to this, your Word, our relationship with you. And ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.